What up, folks? Get Out the Room is back. Short turnaround, 5 days, episode 115, Mo Lovecraft, Mo Sism, Mo Black people getting killed. The world is changing. The Trump rally is happening and the RNC, like, they've completely abandoned the Republican Party platform. And here we are. So, as always, I'm your host, Day, and I got my people with me. Scott, what's going on?
Not much. Not much. That's yeah. Sorry, I'm engaged by an action scene in End of Days.
Hmm. Well, that's awesome. And that voice you hear is Tony Grace, American Hero. What is going on, brother?
Oh, believe it or not, still dodging these raindrops out here.
Is it still raining out there?
It's going to be raining till motherfucking November.
Oh, man.
I mean, it stops. Look, I mean, it stops, you know, like, it was a beautiful day today, you know, with sunny and all that other shit. But, you know, at some point during the day, God's just going to open up that, he's going to open it up, and it's going to rain. And it's going to be like that till November.
Mm-mm. Nope, 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 nope. You can keep it. You can keep it. That is why I live here in the mainland.
I'm mad at you.
But we are Get Out the Room. We are a horror and pop culture. And if the world keep talking and doing shit like this, we're going to be political race fucking podcast too. Shit is happening out here.
Shit is real. Shit is real.
Jacob Blake is the latest in the long, long list of unarmed black men to be shot by police. He amazingly survived. He was shot 7 times in the back trying to break up a fight.
And I couldn't believe that. When I heard he survived,
Oh, God. He is paralyzed from the waist down at this point and probably won't walk again. But, you know, he still is there to be a father to his children. So, you know.
Small blessings.
Right. Small blessings. Exactly. So, you know, this one, it's, and again, I kind of harken back to what we did a couple months ago. We're all in the house. We're all paying closer attention. You know, people have actively taken to the streets in the name of activism and standing up for what's right and being on the right side of history. And what we're seeing are that there are other people who, with the same level of energy, are also standing up to be heard, but in the completely worst way possible. You know, is this Kennesaw, Wisconsin? Was it Kenosha?
It's Kenosha.
Kenosha? Okay. In Kenosha, Wisconsin, there was overnight protests, for the most part peaceful, but white armed militiamen who work with local law enforcement, aided by, goaded on by, you know, help, whatever the terms you'd like to use, were then kind of into the crowd and inciting some issues. And there was a young 17-year-old boy who was not even from Wisconsin who's traveled 30 minutes across state lines with a long gun, an AR-15, which should be outlawed, and killed 2 people and injured another. This is what we've come to now. You know, the older couple who stood outside of their house during the Black Lives Matter protest, and they were armed, who recently spoke at the Republican National Convention. There is a direct correlation between these things.
Yep.
If you are willing to excuse this level of behavior, this is what happens. You embolden people who have no perspective or sense of history and don't truly understand the consequences for carrying a gun like this.
Oh, yeah.
So this, he's still a kid. He did something very grown. He took people's lives. He took somebody's father, daughter, you know, any number of different relations. He took them off this planet. They're no longer here because of him. And his ass got to pay. So,
yep.
Moments before he was seen, videotaped killing people because they have the whole thing on camera. He was given some water by the police officers. And then after he shot people, he's seen coming back talking to the officers like, I just shot some people. Nobody did anything. He's still carrying a gun. And I don't know if they ever took the gun off him. I think he actually went home. And they charged him and arrested him today at his crib. So
that description sounds fake,
doesn't it? Doesn't it?
It's stranger than fiction, my brother.
Yeah,
it's just unreal.
Yeah. It is. It's kind of amazing. I want to let y'all jump in here real fast, before I move on a little bit more.
It's now reached the level of entertainment. I mean, I'll say sports, I guess, first. I, for one, I think that is a great idea. I was just before we started recording, I had said something to you guys that they canceled all the NBA games today because, the players are standing in solidarity and they're walking off, they're protesting. And an event like this leading to something like that, I think, if that's what it takes to burst the bubble during a pandemic, this is what it is. This is what it is. And people are calling for, hey, maybe these players and these athletes should go out into their communities and try and make a difference if they're already doing it on the court. And I say, go for it. If this keeps happening, I think the protesting's gonna just keep going and just keep climbing up the ladder, so to speak. I think that it'll be, why provide entertainment to a nation who apparently it doesn't understand what's going on here. I'm impressed. I'm impressed in a good way. Yeah, we waited so long to get these sports back, and now we're being forced to, back into having nothing, but it has nothing to do with the damn pandemic, and that's the depressing part. And once again, on our podcast where we want to sit here and talk movies and whatnot, we're talking this. It's just too big not to. It's too important not to. And we don't want to have to talk about shit like this. This way, I mean.
No, you had it right the first time. I damn sure don't want to have to talk about shit like this.
It's just, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's a misnomer between all of this. People think that black folks and allies enjoy talking about this shit all the time. Do you know how beautiful our lives would be if we never had to talk about this shit anymore? Get the whole fuck out of here. We don't ever want to talk about another unarmed black person, arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. We don't ever want to talk about this shit ever again. But it happens with such regularity, it becomes a normal part of everything that we do.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry to cut you off, Scott. I just want
to. No. I, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it. We want to be able to jump on here and talk, you know, something that we really like, some entertainment that we really like. We want to come here and people, I hope, come to listen, to get away from the real world monotony and bullshit. And yet it's bleeding into pop culture. It's bleeding into entertainment. It's bleeding into sports. It's bleeding into our everyday lives, and has been for a long time, too long. And it still is. I mean, you know, you'd think that people would be more, I don't know. I mean, the George Floyd thing, you'd think would, I mean, it had a large impact, and yet, oh, here we are talking about something else.
These cops clearly didn't give a shit.
No,
you know, they shot this man in front of his children. I saw some bullshit ass news outlet that said he had a knife in the car.
Okay, exactly.
Which the cops would not have known because they shot him before finding that out.
Oh, he had a knife in the car. I'd be like, all right, go back and sit down in the corner.
Yeah, just shut the fuck up. Get off the internet. We need to take all your internet away. Get the fuck out of here.
It's the same playbook they always use. It's, right. Assault the character of the victim and, delegitimize that person in a way. And therefore, because it was the wrong kind of person, or they were doing the wrong kind of thing, or they were in the wrong kind of place, it somehow strips them of their humanity, and it's okay to execute United States citizens on the street. My very, very close cousin was killed by the police in Los Angeles. This isn't something like that I don't have experience with. And I never thought the days would come when I would long for police brutality. But as I was watching this video, I could not help but think, why didn't they just whoop his ass? It's four cops and he's walking away. Why didn't they just grab his butt, put him in a chokehold, slam him on the ground? Why didn't they just whoop his ass? Like, to shoot a man at point blank range because he's trying to get into his car. And by the way, his children were in the back seat. You know, the if you're paying attention at the end of the video, you hear a car alarm go off or a car horn go off. And that's because the man had partly stepped into the car. And, you know, obviously when he passed out, he slumped onto the steering wheel and hit the alarm and hit the horn. And his children had a front row seat to that. The kind of the psychological, emotional damage that those kids are going to suffer from having to see that. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about the man. You know, he was in a scuffle with the police. He resisted. He didn't comply with their demands, none of which are death penalty offenses, by the way. But say all that. Even with all that said, did his children deserve to watch his father, to watch their father be shot like that, and probably in their minds, you know, think that he had been killed? So to them, they watched their father be summarily executed by the police. Did they deserve that? Like, did anything that he did mean that they deserved that? I do not understand how people continue to condone this shit. I don't. It's disgusting. It really is. I mean, at this point, let's just go ahead and make a law. Refusing to comply with a police officer's command is a death penalty offense to be...
Don't even say that shit in jest.
Right there on the street. Let's go ahead and make that law.
Fuck all that, man.
Everybody's
up. Hell no. I can't... No, don't even say that shit in jest. Some motherfucker on the far reaches of the internet will hear that shit, take it out and be like, see, even black people think we should have killed this motherfucker. No,
I think that if we made everyone subject to the rule of thumb.
Bro, even if you pass a law, it's not gonna be enacted the same way. That's the crux of the conversation.
And there's a lot of truth to that, but I just can't help but feel that people would stop making these stupid fucking excuses. He didn't comply. He had an attitude, or he was in the wrong place, or he should have just did what the officer said. I truly believe that they make these excuses because they know that they're not subject to these fucking rules.
Sure, absolutely. But the sheriff of the whole fucking town literally said they wouldn't have gotten shot if they had abided by the curfew. Not the fact that this motherfucker, who is 17 years old, went across state lines with an AR and shot them. This motherfucker sat up here and said, well, if they had just abided by the curfew, they wouldn't have got shot. Fuck you and fuck everything you stand for.
Yep.
That shows a level of just a lack of compassion that should be disqualifying for a public servant. You serve the public. You're supposed to serve and protect. That requires a level of empathy with the people whom you are serving and protecting. If you can't even muster enough empathy to treat them as just fucking human beings, let alone like people you actually give a fuck about, you shouldn't have that kind of position. You shouldn't even seek that kind of position. Like straight up, I'm telling you right now, if you're in there, the academy right now, and you're trying to be a cop because, I don't know, you think it's going to be fun, or you're gonna enjoy the power that you hold over people, or even it's just a status, you want to be somebody. And I can attest to this. I can't tell you how many motherfuckers join the military because they want to be somebody. They don't want to work at McDonald's. They don't want to do, you know, they want to be able to say, I'm a sailor, I'm a soldier, I'm a Marine, I'm an airman, I'm a guardsman, I'm a whatever, and have people be like, yeah, cool. That's a huge motivation for a lot of people. But if you are, I had a commander first day in the poop, and he goes, and he's asking everybody why they joined in the Navy, and everybody's got their little reasons and whatnot. And it's education for some people. It's, you know, for me, it was my grandfather fought in World War II. I wanted to continue the tradition. For a lot of people, it was a lot of different things. And then he just, you know, after we're all done, you know, he chuckles. And he says, you know, all those reasons are good reasons, and the Navy is good for that, and that's all fine and good. But the only reason you should ever join the Navy is to put your life on the line and die for this country, because that's what's required of you. And if you're not willing to do this, you need to walk out the door right now. That was some sobering shit, and it was real. And I think that people who approach these positions, you know, be it, you know, state police, local police, you know, FBI, whatever, law enforcement, it needs to be, you need to approach this shit as in, I'm here to serve the community and offer myself up as a sacrifice for greater good. I'm not going to be one of these dudes that just pops off 5, 6, 7, 9, 15, 21 shots because I'm scared. I'm going to put my physical well-being at jeopardy for the greater good. If you can't do that, if you can't say that that's the reason why you got on the job, you need to fucking leave. Because this fucking power politics shit that I keep seeing play out, there's no reason to shoot that man other than I'm mad you didn't do what I told you to do.
That is exactly what it is.
There was no reason other than that.
It is the response of a parent and a child. Right?
Your ego cannot be the reason why a man is losing the ability to walk.
Right. In front of his children.
They weren't trying to have him lose the ability to walk. They were trying to kill that man.
Yes.
So that, you know, that's attempted murder all because your little ego got inflamed? Are you fucking kidding me? Oh, I'm so disgusted with this shit. I'm so disgusted.
Well, and those are the pleas that people cop to when they try to explain it. Well, you didn't listen, so that's what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get the game, you know what I'm saying? And there, once upon a time, I would try to have a logical argument with these people and try to, like, get them to see the error of their ways or whatever the fuck. But at this point, it's just too much shit already. And I don't truly believe these people are making these arguments in good faith. I just don't. We've seen too much. This isn't just like something that black folks complain about that we don't really believe in. Too much video evidence. I could type in black man shot by the police and get probably 10 video results right fucking now. I can do that in Google. So this isn't hearsay. This isn't rumor. This is empirical evidence. This is real. So all that other bullshit is just bullshit. Like, if you believe that it's okay for policemen to shoot you in the back four times, and only four times because they missed three bullets, and that's the only reason.
Seven times.
No, he got hit by four of the seven bullets. They fired seven times.
He got seven times.
Oh, they're also, my information is wrong.
Yeah, seven.
Nonetheless, like, if you think that's okay, like, if that's something you think you should be subject to, something's wrong with you. Something's wrong with your idea of what public service is.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about community policing ad nauseum at this point, but the idea that there are people in this country who are starting to recognize that they are no longer can stay silent. You know, we see the NBA, we see Major League Baseball, we see the WNBA, we see tennis players, we see soccer, MLS. Folks are taking a stand. It's weird because I see people minimize the impact of what they're doing, right? The whole thing of, well, what does it do? You know, oh, you're just not playing a game. You'll play tomorrow. What does it matter? I was like, well, you're talking about it. You're stopping to recognize that there's a reason behind what they're doing. And you may not agree with it right now, but it's taking up space in your mind.
Well, you know what? And to that argument, I would just say this. Look, the only reason why Arizona has Martin Luther King Day now is because they're going to lose the Super Bowl over it. They resisted forever having Martin Luther King Day as a holiday.
Yep.
And the Super Bowl lottery hit them. And all the players said, I will not play in that fucking state. They got that holiday in the state so fucking fast it made your goddamn head spin.
Yeah. And I mean,
it does actually matter, man.
People don't even fucking remember Public Enemy song, you know, we took it to Arizona and shit. Like, it was about that because they didn't recognize it. But like you said, the money made them change.
Absolutely.
So people can act it. Yeah. And let's be very realistic about this. It is way easier for players to do this now and owners to be okay with it because there are no fans. So there are no tickets, there are no refunds. There's no gate. You know what I mean? Like, it is really easy for any league to kind of be on the right side of history with this one. My wife and I talked about this shit earlier, and we recognize that. But that still is still, like, really poignant to see Major League Baseball follow suit. Because unlike
– to see the NFL finally fall in line. Yeah, I mean
– that remains to be seen. The season hasn't started yet. But, you know, you look at NBA – and even NFL, right? You know, these are primarily black leagues. Major League Baseball is still primarily white and Latino. So, you know, to see them postpone a game, that's huge, man. It's a big deal. But last thoughts before we move on to some equally depressing shit. So,
damn.
Oh, and this episode is sponsored by Wellbutrin. Right.
Oh, oh my God.
Oh, no, I'm good, bro.
Yeah, I'm good.
Y'all good. Ain't got nothing else to say on this one. Yeah, to the parents of that kid, I hope your son goes under the jail and never sees the light of day. Fuck him and fuck you. All right. So, yeah. So, episode two.
Oh, shit.
That Lovecraftian. Lovecraft Country, episode two.
Yeah, so, okay. Let me start this. I'm going to let you guys explain this to me because this episode was fucking crazy.
Let's do it. Yes, Scott, start it off for us.
No, you start it off. You go for it.
No, look, I talk a lot, man. I want someone to tone. You want to set this episode up, man?
Yeah, there you go. Tone can do it.
Okay, let me see if I can do it quickly.
Yeah.
A lot fucking happens, but so the basics.
Hold on. Kids, there are spoilers. If you have not seen episode two, this is the part where you get off. Until you see episode two, then come back. If you have not seen episode 2, this is your exit. Three, two, one.
All right, so like shit pops to pop off, man. It be popping off in this joint. And basically, we come to our trio of heroes is in the they're in the big house with the white folks, and they become aware of the fact that one, that they're being lied to, two, that they're being watched, and briefly throughout this episode, you see them being manipulated mentally via magic, manipulated physically via magic. The trump card that one of the protagonists had is quickly reversed and turned into a draw four in his punk ass. And then fortunes are reversed again as he is forced to offer his body in the spirit of enriching a white man, and that effort is reversed, and he brings the house down around him on some Samson and Delilah bullshit, and I mean that's the thinnest thumbnail sketch I can give it to you without going too far. I mean, I spoke to Damon about this earlier. This was a season's worth of plot. These two episodes right here, this is what a season's worth of plot would have been for any other show. Like, legit.
And they're both, and each episode is completely different than the other one.
Yes. Yeah. Legit. Yeah, this might as well be an anthology show this might as well be room 104 with like an interstitching plot line. And I don't say that pejoratively. This shit is fucking amazing. To get a whole plot's worth of, like, I am used to shit moving slow. And in fact, shows like this, prestige shows, typically have slow moving plots. It's the execution and all the other shit that keeps you engaged. This shit is moving like fucking like popcorn bullshit fair. This shit's too expensive to be throwing out all this goddamn plot. I am half scared, half amazed, all the way ready to see where else they go with this.
Yeah, and I would like to tell both y'all motherfuckers I was right.
You were right on a technicality. Don't start.
Didn't I also say that they were going to use the black people for Ascension?
I mean, you definitely got it on that.
So that's two for two,
bro. And that one honestly caught me by surprise.
Because I thought that shit was going to take much longer to get there. But nope. Episode two.
Yeah. I thought for certain that we were going to be seeing an episode like this in like episode 6 or 8.
Yeah.
There's no way this should not have happened on episode 2. I don't even know how they're going to get to. I watched the previews for episode 3. I have no idea how they get from episode 2 to episode 3. And let me tell you, folks, for someone like me who watches horror, I watch this shit like, yo, I've watched this shit religiously. I've watched all the shit that you've watched, plus a whole bunch of shit you've never even heard of.
And don't want to watch.
Right. Like, I usually see shit coming from around the bend. Scott as well. Damon as well. I think I can speak for all of us and say, I have no idea what the fuck is happening. I mean, Scott, do you know where any of this shit is
this
going?
This one different. This
no,
one,
hell no.
Yeah, this one different in a lot of different ways, man. This one don't look like anything else.
No.
And, well, it's just, you know, have you noticed, especially on HBO, when they, for the second season, when they, or for the second episode, when they show previews for the next episode after the pilot, they never show you for that specific episode. They just show you clips for like the season. So then they start doing it with episode 2 for the next episode for specific episodes as opposed to the entire season.
Right.
And I think that it works to this show's advantage completely doing that because, you know, you would just watch some super violent at the in the first episode, and then you open episode two with a dance number. It did feel like Room 104.
No, but not just a dance number. The motherfucking Jeffersons.
Yes. Yeah, but exactly. Exactly.
And also, let's keep in mind that this episode is entitled Whitey on the Moon, which is a Gil Scott Heron song from 1970.
Which was so... Look, when I tell you that the musical direction in this shit is on point, bro, I'm talking about Bullseye from 500 Yards.
Amazing.
On point. The scene in which they play Whitey on the Moon between... One, just between like the fucking tone that it's setting is amazing. But two, the dichotomy of the lyrics of what Gil Scott Heron is saying and the meaning and what is transpiring on screen. Just fucking chef's kiss. Mwah. They just knocked that shit out the park, man. It was, I don't even know. This shit defies explanation. This shit's fucking amazing. This is something special we're watching right now.
Yep, I agree. So Whitey on the Moon is a pretty big moment. We already talked about the fact that the house came down. We get a season's worth of look into the people who own this house, who run this house, the rules in which the house are held by.
And there's a little bit of there's Get Out in it. There's Cabin in the Woods in it.
There is.
Yes. There's Cabin in the Woods in it. There's biblical references. The motherfuckers turned to salt. It looked like stone, but it wasn't. They dissipated too quickly. Those motherfuckers turned to salt.
There is.
Which means whatever they were dealing with in the world of, because Lovecraft is, a lot of people don't realize this because of the Eldritch terrors, but Lovecraft is set firmly in the Judeo-Christian universe. The Eldritch terrors are the old gods, the gods that came before Christianity, the ones we have to keep at bay so that we can keep our civilization. That's what Lovecraft is about, keeping these old things at bay so that we can keep what we have. And there's a whole masterclass thesis statement about Eldritch terrors are really just an analogy for the darkies, and you got to keep the darkies at bay so that white folks can have the beautiful civilization that they have that I've said enough on. You can look that up on your own, but that's what we're dealing with. So this is, there is a reference to biblical power in this story, godlike power that would turn these people to salt, you know. Powerful fucking shit.
Yeah, so it is a pretty amazing thing to watch the amount of ground covered in this one episode. I'm not going to spoil the bombshell of the episode. Michael K. Williams.
Which one?
No, just say yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's the one. You know what I'm talking about. Right. That one. Scott knows what I'm talking about. It changes everything that you have watched up until this point. It changes.
And it changes it in such a way that It's in the best tradition of good twists, where it changes it in such a way where you look back and you say, oh, I should have seen that. Yeah. Like, they really caught me looking. It's not like, it wasn't some bullshit where it's like, there's no way I could have figured that out. This was some, like, this shit was literally right in front of my face, and I missed it. Like, this was a magic trick these motherfuckers pulled off.
Yep.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. There's so much here. There's so much here. I don't know. You know, we talked about surprises. We're not going to give away the big one. But I would like to hear everybody's, like, surprise. Like, what was your surprise bitch moment?
Um, I'll say it was when the one that's coming to my mind is the first thing I thought of, which is how I'm gonna answer it. I think I wrote when I was watching it, you know, I watched it the day after. I wasn't able to catch it Sunday, so I watched it Monday. And I think I wrote you guys, this shit's like straight out of Cabin in the Woods. Get Out. It's the scene where, how much are we saying to not spoil, I guess?
Only, look, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing that saved is the big, big one. Other than that, like, the plot's too thick. I can't even talk about it if we ain't going to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Touche. Touche.
Yeah.
So the scene that I keep thinking of that made me think Get Out right away was when they're having, within the house, they're having, oh, and by the way, the butler looks like Patrick Wilson. I kept thinking that it was him.
That was a good call, actually.
But when they're all sitting there in that, like, it's the room with, like, mirrors, and they're watching each of the main characters kind of react in their rooms, and they're just sitting there, you know, that's the entertainment for the evening. And it felt, I mean, that was a scene right out of Get Out. And they're all there at the party, and they're talking, and they're, and then, they bid for auction, and they're just having a party with entertainment there at their disposal, just shooting the shit. And that scene, the first thing I thought was Get Out. I get that there's the Jordan Peele is, and Monkey Paw is the common thread here.
Yep.
But it just felt, that's the very first thing that I thought of when I saw that scene, and I was like, wow, I mean, this is a great callback to a modern classic that they're able to tap into perfectly for such a poignant show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Damon?
So, a lot of the oh shit moments for me, they came in little spurts.
And the snake in the pants.
So, yeah, right. Okay, that was tough.
Oh, God.
But to your earlier point from last week, Jamie Chung was the one that Tick saw in his hallucination.
Okay, so I was going to mention, I was going to ask the question, and I thought that was her.
Yeah,
it
was her.
Yeah, it was her.
So she's the pink girl from the beginning, and she's also...
Right, right. Yeah, okay.
Right, so...
Which, by the way, awesome.
Yeah.
Continue.
Fantastic scene.
Yep.
For me, the big oh shit moments were smaller moments of, I can't believe they're giving us this much, right? Because horror films, and particularly shows like this, they bury the lead constantly to keep you coming back. Like, how deep is this motherfucker where they're just like, yeah, no, I'm gonna tell you right now. And that's the answer. It's not, you know, it's not a play action fake. It's not a bootleg. It's not Naked Out the Back. Like, that's the actual answer. And you move on, and now you have this information. It's a curse. What? No. It's a trick. What is it? Right? And then all of a sudden, it's done.
Yeah, done.
Right? To see all of that, it is, wow, man. It blows me away, the level of writing, the depth of writing. The Show God made another fucking appearance that was just scary as all hell still. The Cabin in the Woods-esque kind of undereducated keeper of the land.
Yeah.
Like the
Harbinger.
Yeah, the double speaking, you know, kind of putting down of black folks. That shit was just, wow, man.
That was beautiful. It was grotesquely beautiful.
Right.
The way they played that.
The way they talked about black bears, and, you know, they're smart. Well, they ain't that smart.
They're not smart. They're not people. God damn.
I was like, fuck, man.
God damn.
Right? Like that, those scenes, those were the, like the oh shit moments for me. And, you know, listening to the way that it, in the one poignant part, I think I talked to you, Tone, I talked to you about this right after we watched this shit. There's a scene between Tick and Victoria, and she was like, you know, regardless of how hard I try, I'll never get to wear one of these. And you get this just by the plain fact, by being born a man.
And Tick, then he replies, what?
And not even a white one.
Oh, so good. Mm-hmm. And what they're setting up right there is 100 years of conflict between black folks fighting for freedom and liberal feminists fighting for suffrage. And this is a real battle that played out in our history, where one of the arguments of the suffragists, the women, you know, fighting for the right to vote, was like, we know you're about to give the right to vote to black people. How could you give it to them before you give it to white women? And then that plays all these echoes of that play out in the arguments we had between Hillary and Barack. Why a black man for a white woman? Like, all this stuff has been playing out for, you know, hundreds of years, and it's being distilled right here in this fucking in this fucking show. Even if you look at the battle, if you look at the battle for the civil rights movement, and what happens when we take a chip off of the white patriarchy, to use some words I don't particularly care for, but it is what it is, and that's what it
I
is.
Hate. I genuinely hate that word.
Like, yeah, I do as well.
I hate that phrasing a lot.
I don't have other language for it. I could say the hegemony of the moment, but don't nobody know what that fucking means. So let's say the current power structure. As we take a chip out of the current power structure to make room for underrepresented people, there is a battle amongst those underrepresented people for the crumbs at the table. And in this instance, it happens to be typically POC, people of color, black folks, black and brown folk, men and women, and then poor white men and largely middle class to upper middle class white women. And we see this dynamic being played out in the show. I guarantee you that evil ass, fake ass Patrick Wilson and the daughter are gonna team up and try to come against Tick and his ilk. I guarantee you that's what we're gonna see. I'm here for it.
And again, I don't think she is as young as she looks.
I do not doubt you there. Do not doubt you there. There is something a little too polished about them that makes me feel like underneath some of that polish is some serious road wear. And same goes for the butler. That, you know, that motherfucker, hair too blonde, eyes too blue, suit too pressed, something ain't right.
You ain't never lie. You know, I think it's very, so there are moments.
Who's supposed to play her, by the way? The blonde girl?
Who's that?
Originally? Elizabeth Debicki, is that how you say
her? Yeah, you know, 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's also an excellent actress.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's an excellent actress.
It wouldn't have been I don't know. You could have gone a different way with it.
I don't know, man. This is only the second episode, but two, there's a presence that comes along with seeing a 6 foot plus woman.
Yes.
Is, you know, incredibly blonde and, you know, pretty and very well put together and very much like, you know, all a part of what you're talking about. Like she has it. You know
what I mean? Yes. Yes.
She possesses that on screen. So I completely understand that casting, and I'm disappointed we didn't get a chance to see that. But what we have now is also very good. You know, but there are moments where she's trying to gain Tick's trust in terms of, not all white people are bad, man. Not all white people are trying to kill you. But by the same token, you are complicit in the destruction of,
right,
you know, using me to get to whatever your ultimate goal is.
Right? As does the manservant. Do the same thing.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
just because they don't, just because they don't want you here, don't think that you don't belong here. Like, yeah. He is doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, he is going to be instrumental in their suffering later on down the line. Like, it's what people refer to as the double-edged sword of white liberalism. It's,
yeah, man, it's the respectability.
I'm an ally. I'm gonna help you until you get in my way, and then I will use all the dirty tricks I know to get you up out of this bitch.
But I don't even think that implies a level of cunning and planning. I feel like this is more of opportunity of a look. I didn't really, just like we harken back to in the first episode, right? Of look, they came into the restaurant. I didn't serve them. You know what I mean? Don't get
me. I wholeheartedly agree. I don't think anybody expected this to go the way that it did. And so, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. Now there's a power vacuum.
Yep.
People are going to rush to fill it. And we're going to get some half-hearted apologies and some, you know, hey man, I wish it didn't have to be this way, but you know, it's Highlander rules, man. Yep. The only one.
Yep. Yep. And right now, Tick's the one. So yeah. What else? Is there anything, Scott, anything else you want to get into before we hop off this and go talk about some other shit?
No, I just much like the first episode, I honestly have no clue where the show's headed, and it's fresh to have that after each episode. I feel that way, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, I thought one thing from episode one and episode two did not go the way I thought, but I don't mean that bad. I'm just saying it surprised me the way it went, and I enjoyed it. So once again, I'm kind of in the same boat, you know, looking forward to season or episode three.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. This has become like, I don't have appointment television anymore. Right, that doesn't exist in the times of love and COVID. This is that for me. You know, as soon as the kids go to bed, I'm like, hey, I'm trying to watch this. Over. You know, like I gotta watch this shit, man. Like I can't wait. I haven't been excited about a show like this, you know, since. And to be very honest with you, I think I'm more excited about this than Watchmen.
I second that.
I'm not sure I'm there, but I enjoy the hell out of it. So
yeah, look, I completely understand.
You know, it's just a different style. Like Watchmen is still very good, but the way this smacks you in the fucking mouth and then just looks at you like, what? Like, this is my shit.
Yeah.
I'm here for this.
Watchmen is very fictional. This is also fictional, but fictional rooted in a whole lot of real. You know what I mean? And the fact that up to this point, this is taking place in Massachusetts. Like,
yeah,
you got straight up deep South vibes, but this place, Artem, it's in Massachusetts. It's outside of Boston. You know, Gloucester County, Massachusetts. Like, that's where this is. So, it just kind of also flipping that on its ear. Because you expect all of this to take place in a deep, deep South. And I think we even talked about it like it was in deep, deep South last week. This is North. So, you know, so here we go. It was supposed to be a bastion of liberalism.
Yeah, and you know what? Yo, that's very real. Because we have to remember, like, they left Chicago to go to Massachusetts. They've never even crossed the Mason-Dixon line. All of this is in the North. That actually kind of floors me because it does feel very much like the South. But they crossed through Indiana, Ohio, to get to Massachusetts. I don't think they hit Pennsylvania. Probably, they might hit Pennsylvania. Maybe
different parts of New York, depending on how you go.
Yeah, now they never got nowhere near the Mason-Dixon line. This is all the solid north.
Yep. Sundown counties in the north.
Yes. Which is incredible.
Incredible. Incredible.
And if you think that, I just challenge the listener to just, you know, look up Sundown County or Sundown Town in your state.
Right.
And there are six Sundown cities in traditional Sundown cities in my home state of California. Six. I've lived in two of them.
That's crazy. Like,
it's insane. It's insane. California, all places. Didn't even come into the Union until after the Civil War. Until after the Civil War.
Yeah, like, I'm not even going to look in Maryland because...
Nah, you don't want... Don't do that to yourself.
My KKK folks be real close out here, so...
Don't do that. You don't need to do that.
Make myself sit up here with, shotgun.
You're going to buy more guns than you need. Don't do that.
Exactly. A shotgun and a bottle of whiskey. Sit in the front yard getting bit up by mosquitoes and shit. I'm doing that.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So, I guess before we get out, we have to say what you got 30 seconds to tell me what you think will come of next week. Or at least at this point, I'll even allow you to amend what you said last week.
Boy,
so actually, I'm still sticking with, I think, if we get dream sequences in some way or fashion,
okay.
I'm still looking forward to that because we still did kind of get that this week.
Okay. I like that. Just not in the beginning. Okay.
Right. Not in the beginning. And it happened in a different way. And it happened to more than one character.
So we've been right twice.
Yeah.
Got it. Tom, is it going to be your turn to be right this week? No, I'm kidding.
Wow. I think what we're going to enter into is a race to find the book. I think if you were watching carefully, we have an idea where that book or with whom that book might be.
Yep.
So there's going to be that. Damon and I spoke about this the other day. There's going to be a financial windfall. I'm not entirely sure it's what you think it is, but I wouldn't be. I'm like 70-30 that you're right on where that financial windfall is coming from. And I predict that. You know, true to form to Black families, we just gonna moonwalk past the huge revelation that happened at the end of this episode.
Yep.
We just not gonna talk about this.
Gotta leave something for them. Gotta leave something for them. So yeah. So I'm still sticking with, well, all my shit came true. So I gotta re-up. Dancing in my truth. I do think the book and the race for the book and probably the fight that will ensue between Tick and Victoria and her friend who is a boy and sometimes more will come into play. But within that, when we get back to Chicago, we're going to see a little bit more of the segregated history of Chicago.
Oh, absolutely.
Very clearly, we were in the South Side before, but with this financial windfall and Letty moving to the North Side, I think we're going to see kind of more traditional white racist tactics, cross burnings, you know, the bricks through windows with letters. You know, all kinds of stuff like that, right?
Don't forget the firebombing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there'll definitely be some firebombing.
Some Molotov cocktail storm.
Yeah. All of that is, like, I think all that's on the table. And, you know, and it's unfortunate because I think there's going to be a lot for us to see there. But I also think there's going to be moments where you're going to be like, wow, that there is legitimate fear from being Black in that position.
Oh yeah. Let me just ask three. Let me just ask y'all. So pace so far, are we gonna maintain? Are we slowing down? Or are we picking it up?
I assume it'll slow down.
Like, how could you possibly have enough content this deep for 10 episodes, man?
I mean, that's a fair point. That is a fair point. I think we're going to continue in this hopscotchy way. I think what's going to happen is we might... No, you know, I don't even believe that. You know what? I'm just going to step out on faith. I think we're going to maintain this pace. Believe it or not, I think we are going to maintain this pace.
I agree. Could be
wrong, but I choose to live in that world.
Yeah.
And I hope that's true.
Yeah. I mean, the smart money is that we slow down. You know, that's the smart money. But I just got a feeling that these motherfuckers said, fuck throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it sticks. We building a new wall.
Yeah. Every week.
Every week. New wall. Let's go.
New wall each week. We're going to see some more of those familiar issues between Letty and her sister. And,
for sure.
There's going to be some fallout. There's going to be some fallout from what we saw this week. So, looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Real quick, I think we got about 10 more minutes, period. Scott, what is the big news from this past week?
We got a bunch of new DC trailers.
You can already tell where Tom stands on these things.
So I'll give quick rundowns on thoughts here. So we saw a new Wonder Woman trailer, which is underwhelming.
Kristen Wiig as Cheetah,
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that Cheetah is not a terrific character to begin with, and
I agree.
I don't know that anybody's super pumped for Kristen Wiig to play a supervillain. It's a strange cast. It doesn't mean it won't work. It's just a strange cast. The Justice League Snyder Cut got a trailer as well. I'm holding optimism that it's going to make the movie better. I honestly don't know what to think. I mean, part of me thinks that there's nothing you can do to save it, but then I think, I mean, if it's really truly going to be, and apparently they're going to release it as a 4-hour miniseries, I mean, there's a lot of footage they cut. So maybe they cut it for a reason, or maybe it really is going to be better. I don't know. I just don't know what to think about that yet.
Seeing some of the Cyborg stuff kind of fleshing out his character and, you know, the redesigns for the villain and as we all knew.
New characters. I mean, they showed Darkseid. They showed Iris West. They showed some things that could it could work. I don't know. It's entirely too early to tell. I don't know. I thought it was a great idea that they were releasing it, period, just because, you know, why not? What do Warner Brothers and DC have to lose at this point by trying to make a shitty movie better?
Yep.
So
like, seeing Darkseid and seeing he looks like a stone version of himself. So I didn't like that.
But his skin's always kind of like that anyway, though. It's always kind of like
rocky,
concrete-y. Yeah.
We'll continue on, I mean, control.
The stuff I really, really liked, though, was I really enjoyed the Suicide Squad stuff. Now, I'm a fan of the comic book. I understand that there are people that can be disgruntled by Suicide Squad based on the first film. I completely understand that. But this time out is James Gunn, and he gave an interview saying he's following the the original Suicide Squad comic by John Ostrander. So I have faith that he's going to deliver. There's no reason not to think that he won't, given that he's made two good Guardians of the Galaxy movies with characters that nobody knew before. So I thought, and it wasn't really a proper trailer. It was more like a behind the scenes and a like a who's who video. But I think that looks great. But I think the news of the weekend that got most people talking was the Batman trailer. And I thought it looked awesome, personally. And I think the word is, it seems around the internet that most people really, really enjoyed it as well. Which is good. I mean, I had my doubts when they cast Robert Pattinson. You know, and what can you tell from a trailer? But it looked pretty good. There's a hype moment in the trailer that certainly kind of widens your eyes while you're watching it. So I was pleased with that one as well. I mean, thoughts. I know you guys have different thoughts than I do. So
let's settle in on this one. Yeah. So I am. There is not a whole lot about this Batman shit that really excites me. I will say that having a very dangerous Riddler is very cool to me. The Riddler is somebody who figured out who Bruce Wayne was a long time ago and just hasn't told anybody.
So that brings up the question. We're assuming that's Riddler.
Yeah, it is. It's Paul Dano, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I mean, that's what I'm assuming, but I think that's the throw off there.
I mean,
I'm assuming it's Riddler.
Well, there are question marks even in the marketing, so.
No, I'm exactly right. That's exactly right. My point.
So it'd have to be the Riddler, but, you know, whatever. So a dangerous Riddler is very cool. I'm assuming that the time frame of this is around year two. Right.
That's what they said. It's early. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's early. So he ain't really Batman yet. He's not the world's greatest detective yet. But neither are his rogues. So, you know, they're not who they're going to be just yet either, which is also very cool. But the idea, I was reading something online that said the idea behind Batman, particularly late 19s, was that Batman always had better shit than the cops. That's not true anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the Batmobile is a tank. Well, you know, Gotham City PD got tanks. Batman got infrared and, you know, nighttime vision. So does Gotham City PD. You know, Batman had the Batwing. Well, they got helicopters, you know, ballistics, you know, body armor, you know, like they're tech wise, there isn't a whole lot that Batman has that the police simply don't have. So the thing that, you know, sets him apart is his intelligence and detective skills. And if we've yet to see a story that is rich enough to show us just how good of a detective he is, what is he other than do that just be beating motherfuckers up within an inch of their life because he don't kill?
Yeah.
Right? So that's been kind of rolling around in my head a little bit. Tom, what do you think about that?
Okay. Oof. I mean, I just got to start off with, you know, taking it back to In Living Color. Hated it. Like,
yeah,
all of it. Don't care about Chitara.
Cheetah.
Well, yeah, I went back.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. That's what we're calling Kristen Wiig. Chitara.
don't care about Cheetah. Although I loved the original, I loved Wonder Woman, you know, I still don't.
Still the best DC film to me.
Yeah, no, it's a good flick. I don't understand how the fuck Steve Trevor's in this shit again. Yeah.
You die, and just so. Here, back out.
Yeah, don't know how that happened. Don't care. Probably not gonna watch this. Snyder Cut. Look, man, this could be the end all be all that everybody thinks it is. But posting the fucking little teaser trailer underneath Hallelujah, like, are you fucking kidding me? Nigga, get your ego under control. My God. Like, I can't take that shit seriously.
I said the same thing. Scott disagreed.
I mean, look.
It's a song from a previous movie he used. I didn't see it that way, but I get
don't
it.
Care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Nah, not with the shits. I'm probably still watch the flick, but I'm not with the shits. What else we had? Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Don't care. I just don't care.
Even Idris, you know, fucking with Idris in here.
I don't care. I don't know who he's playing. Is he supposed to be the new fucking Deadshot?
No, it's Blade? So that's the whole point of the Suicide Squad. It doesn't matter.
No, I get
Suicide
it.
Squad.
Somebody.
He's a brand new character. He's brand new like
Slade. If he's not yes, Slade, he is. Okay. So I'm saying he looks like Slade. So
he's
okay.
Not Slade.
He's not Slade.
No.
No. He's a character called Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't care. All right. Move on. All right. Let's see.
That's a shame you don't care about that dude. The comic it's based on is dope, and I think you're gonna be. I think that movie's gonna be impressive. I do.
I mean,
I got high hopes for that one.
We'll see. It's gonna be one of those.
We'll see. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those. I'm gonna wait till you watch it, and then we're gonna see how you feel about
Touché.
It.
Touche. Touche.
And then the only film that I actually give a fuck about in this whole array is Black Adam, and I get stop motion.
Yeah.
Really, nigga, and a voiceover that isn't even properly balanced and equalized with the fucking like fucking kidding me. The fuck out of here, man. Like I'm so far from fucking impressed. So here we go with the Batman shits. All right. So one, shit's too fucking dark. I don't know what the fuck is happening here. Two,
my man Alex Wilson from Situation Pod, he said they're gonna fix it in post. You're gonna be able to see it.
I reckon they will, but that was not a good showing. Two, most people get something wrong, right? Nolan got Bruce Wayne right. They didn't get Batman right. Didn't show the detective work. Fucking Burton got most of it right, frankly. He got most of it right.
Especially the look.
Yeah.
When I think of Batman, I think of Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah. He got most of it right, other than the physicality necessary, and they fixed that with the fucking puffed up muscles.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, cool. I give you that. You know? Just you know, Affleck, in my opinion, got both of them right. That motherfucker is Bruce Wayne. That motherfucker is Batman. This shit right here, I don't know. He's not Bruce Wayne or Batman. He's not good looking enough to be Bruce Wayne, just flat out. I see this motherfucker in the trailer looking like he got bad acne and flat hair.
Wow.
That's not Bruce Wayne. Wow. Nigga was like a teenager who's eating too much pizza. I can't do it.
Wow.
Also, he's a smooth 175 pounds. He ain't scaring nobody.
My God.
And then thirdly, this whole, so people are cheesing off of this, you know, I'm vengeance. Okay, cool. But I don't know what Bruce Wayne y'all niggas listening to, but my Bruce Wayne is not emotionally available. That nigga's cold. That's one of the reasons that's one of the things that makes him a great detective. This motherfucker is spittling at the mouth and like freaking out while he's punching dudes. I get it's got the whole Arkham Asylum breaking bones and shit. I'm with that. But Batman is not emotional. He's just not. So seeing him damn near crying while he's beating these dudes to death, that's not the move. I'm not with the shits. I'm not with it. I'm not with it. I'm not with none of this shit. None of it. You don't have to come to that.
All right.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. I like King Shark, you know, though.
Briefly, I will just say, finish Doom Patrol. It's live. I don't know if we got another season coming out. I hope to God we do. Shit's live. I can't
look.
Wait.
All I say is this. So, to give you perspective on how weird Doom Control could still go,
Now you want to give me perspective, because when I was watching this shit, I was taken fully aback. I had no fucking perspective whatsoever. Right. I came in there and was shocked, Scott. I was shocked.
One of the things that makes the Doom Patrol so interesting to me is that it has some of the most original characters. It has some of the most original. So now I'm referring to the comic. In the comic, there's even more originality when it comes to a lot of their villains. When Mr. Nobody's introduced in the comic, he's actually introduced with a team of villains that he's the leader of, called the Brotherhood of Dada. Dadaism is like a surreal, goofy philosophy, and that's what this group names themselves after. For example, there's a girl who has super strength, but only when she's sleepwalking. There's a girl who is, she wears a suit because she's pathologically afraid of dirt, and her power is, while you're fighting her, she has the ability to do anything unless you say it out loud. And then he, okay, in a future volume, he comes back with another group, but it's like the second version of the Brotherhood of Dada. And these characters are even more fucking bizarre. There's a dude who has his like torso is a bird cage, and his heart is the cuckoo inside. It just goes down the rabbit hole very, very, very deep. And so these first two seasons are, I mean, it's very, very bizarre. But I suspect that they're just going to keep going down the rabbit hole, because why not? It's different. It's entertaining. I enjoy it. I really think it's a great show. I'm glad that HBO Max jumped on this more so than Titans. I haven't seen Titans. This one is more appealing to me from the start. So I'm all for it. I'm glad you're caught up, Tone. It's a wild ride.
It is indeed. It is. Wow. I truly hope that there's another season. I really do.
Yeah. I got to catch up. I'm in the beginning of the series, so I get this.
Look, man, I don't even think, like, legit, I don't even think I could spoil this for you. It's so fucking ridiculous.
No. You can't. You couldn't.
I couldn't if I tried. But go ahead and watch it and catch up.
I am. I'm gonna check it out.
We may need to talk about this one.
The endorsements have been too ringing, so I gotta watch it.
It's too fucking weird. We might have to talk about this one. It's too much.
I can dig it, man. But outside of that, I think that's it, right? Oh, Scott, what's the comic that just dropped?
Oh yeah, I did actually get a chance to read Three Jokers today. It went a different direction than I thought it would, but not a bad way.
Okay.
They are actually investigating the idea of there being three Jokers even in current continuity.
Oh, not in three separate continuities across.
Or different times. So I was under the assumption they were going to investigate three Jokers over the course of Batman's history.
Yeah. But
they're playing it that these three guys have been working in unison throughout the history together.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm reading that shit.
It's worth a read. The art is fantastic. I mean, this is a premier DC book. I'm assuming it's, you know, just like every other event series, the shit's going to get delayed. So it'll be every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Release schedule.
I have been reading Court of Owls. So,
and I think, Court of Owls, a lot of people think those guys with the white and black makeup in the Batman trailer, that's where that's headed.
Well, there's a owl mask at the end. Like, it's pretty clear.
Oh, is it? Okay. I guess I didn't catch that then.
Yeah. So I guess we're gonna. I guess we're going to get some of that.
Yep.
So good to hear. I'll check that out. But outside of that, I think we're good. Maybe we can get up out of here, right?
Yeah.
Any last words?
Get up. Yeah, man. Watch Doom Patrol, man. Give me another season, folks. Come on.
Okay. I love it. Scott?
Watch Room of 104, Damon, as well.
Okay. I'll probably give an episode of that in tonight. I'll watch one right now.
There you go.
Right. And I wish I could just say watch this specific episode, but right. It's honestly better to just watch the episodes and as they kind of pop up. And if you don't like it, just go on to the next one.
Yeah, particularly with 4 seasons at this point.
So, yeah, right. And there's no continuity, so you don't have to worry about missing nothing. Just if you don't like it, move on.
Yeah.
But a good episode is gonna jolt you, and then a bad one, you're just gonna turn it off in like 5 minutes. You'll be like, nah, I'm good.
Makes sense. All right. Well, I will check it out. We are Get Out the Room. Pop culture, horror, Black Lives Matter, arrest the cops, kill Breonna Taylor. That kid that shot those people needs to go away for a long time. And the cops who just shot Jacob also need to be held accountable. So you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. I'm actually going to apply for Spotify and Google Podcasts as well. And outside of that, you know, for Sky, for Tone, I'm Dave. We'll catch y'all next time, man. All right.
Peace.
Peace.